طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our third session in Arabic lessons in fiqh. المستوى الثالث, level 3, Islamic University of Medina Arabic language program. And I think in the last class we started the Kitab al-Tahara, right? The last class we started Kitab al-Tahara. And we read just a little bit of it. Yani the first page, 7. After we completed the questions from the introduction, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we did the first couple of points on page 7 and the top of page 8. So today, inshallah, we want to pick up where we left off on page 8 and also page 9. Yani dealing with the bab ahkam al-miyahi. Yani the legal rulings concerning water. We want to deal with this on page 8 and page 9. And if we still have some time left, we'll go to page 10. النَّجَاسَةُ وَأَنْوَاعُهَا, yani the impurities and its various types. Okay, so we may read some of that also, hopefully. So let's see how far we can go. Before we go on, I just want to say that yani what we started last week from Kitab al-Tahara, I believe that yani what we covered and it is really very important, and if a person understood it well, then it is of great benefit. Okay? I don't know if anybody has any questions concerning what we read last week, on the beginning of Tahara on page 7 and the top of page 8. Yani the definition of Tahara, and likewise the two types of Tahara, and then what is yani Al Hadath and what is Al Khabath. Does anybody have any questions first? Any question about what we covered? What'd you say? Quick review. Okay, but first I want to see if anybody has a question. If somebody has a question, we'll address that first. And then after that, we can just look at any what are the important points here. Okay, so, Naam, Ibrahim. The saliva of a dog is considered to be najis. Naam. They have to wash it. Naam. They should wash it 7 times. Ulahunna bitturab. And some of the narrations said the 8th time with turab. And it's different narration concerning it, but the narration that we studied previously was that they have to wash it 7 times, the first of them being with surface soil. Now, okay, his question, he's talking about al-khabath, al-khabath. Yani last week we talked about al-hadath and al-khabath. We're going to review it, inshallah, just briefly. But he's saying the khabath, yani is the saliva of the dog considered khabath? Naam. But in any case, the saliva, yani we today, yani we're going to read about the ahkam of water. But if we go to page 10, النَّجَاسَةُ وَأَنْوَاعُهَا, then we'll see from the types of najasa, yani is لُعَاب الْكَلْب, yani the saliva of the dog, that it is najas. It's a type of najasa. Yani it is a physical impurity that must be removed. Okay, in any case, yani we'll come to that, we're going to talk about that. But yani in terms of what we covered last week, yani al-khabath, yes, al-khabath means the physical impurity that prevents a person from doing any act of worship that requires tahara. And not every act of worship requires tahara, right? But an act of worship that requires tahara, like salat, you have to be in a state of tahara, then yani the thing that the najasa, something that is physical impurity, it will prevent you from doing the act of worship. Okay, we'll talk about yani what that really means and how it is removed and so on. Today we're going to talk about that a little bit. Okay, let's come back to it, inshallah. Now,
perhaps as you said, that the lesson, possibly break some of the words down, because you have a brother who is.
Yeah. We're going to break down all the words in English. We're going to explain everything, inshallah, in English. Everything that we're covering, we're going to discuss in English, right? Because we're going to translate. The voweling of the words?
Yes, please.
I mean, in any case, we read it last week, so I'm not going to read the whole thing again today, but if there's a particular word, you can ask about it. Otherwise, huh? Oh, so we read this last week, yani, with a little bit of time? Kitab al-Tahara?
Oh,
we're going to start this week, or will we read it that day? All right, no problem. We can read it. Okay, so you should mark the voweling, the words that you're looking for. The words that you don't know, you can mark the voweling, right? Kitabu at-taharati, the book of purification. Ta'arifu at-taharati, the definition of purification. Yani from the book of Tahara, the first thing is its definition. And this definition is going to be the linguistic definition, yani the linguistic meaning of Tahara, and then the technical definition, yani in the Sharia, technical definition, right? So, as far as its definition, تُطْلَقُ الطَّهَارَةُ وَيُرَادُ بِهَا النَّزَاهَةَ وَيُرَادُ بِهَا النَّزَاهَةَ عَنَ الْأَكْذَارِ وَالْإِبْتِعَادِ عَنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْمَعَاسِ. يعني تطلق الطهارة, يعني when the word, the expression tahara is used without any definition or restriction, just generally you say tahara, يُرَادُ بِهَا, what is intended by it is one of two things, النَّزَاهَ عَنَ الْأَكْذَارِ, يعني to keep yourself free from things that are filthy and unclean. The second meaning that could be intended by it is al-ibtiad an al-shirk wal-ma'asi, distancing yourself from shirk, associating something with Allah, making something as an equal or a partner with Allah in that which belongs to Him exclusively, or more generally sins, distancing yourself from the worst of all sins, that is shirk, polytheism, associating something with Allah, and distancing yourself from sin. So these are two different meanings for tahara. Yani when a person says tahara, they mean either, if they don't make clear what they mean, yani they use it mutlaqan, then they either mean keeping yourself free from impurities, from unclean things and filth, or they mean distancing yourself from spiritual uncleanliness. That is, commission of sins in general, or the worst of them, it is shirk. This is the meaning of tahara.
So ma'asi doesn't mean
disobedience. The what? Ma'asi? Yeah, it means ma'asi. Yani ma'asi is the plural of ma'asiya, means a sin, disobedience. Naam, disobedience to Allah. Yeah, we're talking here about disobedience to Allah. Yeah. Okay, so disobedience to Allah, generally we say sins. But yes, literally you can say ma'asi, acts of disobedience. But we mean acts of disobedience to Allah.
Asa is here, right?
Huh?
Asa Allah. Asa is,
no, this word ma'asi, ma'asi here, it is the plural of ma'asiyah. Oh yeah, asa Allah, yani he disobeyed Allah, naam. No. Yeah. I thought it was, I'm sorry, I was understanding something else. Asa Allah, naam. Disobedience. Huh? Yeah, that's what came to my mind when he said, I was thinking seen. That's what threw me off. I was thinking seen. Now, alhamdulillah. No, no, you're correct. No, you're correct. No, he said asallah. He means sa'd. Now, yeah, I didn't process it completely. Okay, so the definition of tahara, if it is used in the absolute sense, without any definition or restriction, what is intended by it is one of two things. Either freeing yourself or keeping yourself free from any type of akdar, yani means something that's unclean or impure, or it means al-ibti'ad, yani being distanced from shirk and yani acts of disobedience, sin. And this, the second of those meanings, the ibti'ad and al-shirk al-ma'asi, is what is intended in Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd surah, 33rd ayat, كَمَا فِي قَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطَهِيرًا. Yani this is from Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 33rd Ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ, yani indeed, what Allah intends is لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمَ الرِّجْ, to remove from you the uncleanliness, ya أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ. Here it doesn't mean uncleanliness, yani things that are unclean, some filth from your clothing. Allah means to remove from them, Ahlul Bayt, from the family of the Prophet ﷺ, to remove from them, yani the uncleanliness of sin and disobedience and shirk and kufr, to remove from them. Allah intends to remove this kind of uncleanliness, Ahlul Bayt, from the family of the Prophet ﷺ, وَيُطَهِّرُكُمْ فَطَهِيرًا, and to purify you, yani with a complete and perfect purification. A thorough, complete and perfect purification. Yani tathira is the masdar al-mutlaq. Yani which emphasizes the meaning of yutahhirukum, to purify you. Yani emphasizing the meaning of purification. That Allah intends to purify the family, the Ahlul Bayt, the family of yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى, and also the saying, or كَمَا فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, 9th Surah, 103rd Ayah. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. يعني, take from their wealth, yani the Allah is ordering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take from their wealth صَدَقَة. Yani take charity from their wealth. Yani that which is obligatory. Here sadaqah, it means the zakat. Yani the zakat that's obligatory, Allah is ordering the Prophet to take from their wealth the obligatory charity for the purpose of purifying them. تُطَهِّرُهُمْ, in order to purify them. وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ, and to sanctify them. بِهَا, yani by this. Yani as a means of purification and sanctification, yani removing the people, yani to save them from yani whatever type of evil yani may affect a person's heart and affect their soul. Here, the purification that is intended here is the second type, ibtiad an ash-shirk al-ma'asi. Yani not physical purification. Yani what is primarily understood here, it is the other type of purification. To purify the people, their souls, by taking the zakat from their wealth, yani purifying them, and yani putting them in a condition of spiritual uprightness, tazkiyat al-nafs, or yani purification of the soul or the heart. Here it says, فَهَذِهِ تَهَارَةٌ مَعَنَوِيَّةٌ غَيْرُ تَهَارَةٌ الْحِسِّيَّةٌ. Yani in these two ayats, what is intended here is tahara ma'anawiyya. Yani an abstract. Yani not material or physical purification. Not the tahara hissiyya. Yani tahara hissiyya means yani the tahara yani that is perceived by the senses. Yani by the sensory, yani tahara, sensory, yani the senses can taste it, smell it, see it. Yani you can perceive it with your senses. Tahara hissiyya. Yani the purification that a person sees, physical purification. What is intended here is not that, yani tahara hissiyya, but what is intended, tahara ma'nawiyya, abstract or spiritual purification. So here, yani the point here is, right, that tahara, if it is used in an unrestricted manner, yani mutlaqan, then it means one of these two meanings. If it's not clarified, then it may mean one of these. It may mean physical purification, or it may mean spiritual or abstract purification. فَهَذِي تَهَارَةُ مَعْنَوِيَّ غَيْرُ تَهَارَةُ الْحِسِّيَّةِ وَالتَّهَارَةُ فِي الْإِصْطِلَاحِ. Okay, that is the linguistic meaning of tahara. One of these two meanings. وَالتَّهَارَةُ في اصطلاح الفقهاء, في اصطلاح الفقهاء, رفع ما يمنع من الصلاة ونحوها من حدث أو خبث. يعني the tahara in the technical terminology of the scholars of fiqh, the fuqaha, yani the faqih, the scholars of fiqh. In their technical terminology, what is meant by tahara is raf'u ma yamna'u min as-salati wa nahwiha min hadathin aw khabathin. Yani it is the raising up, yani the removal of that which prevents a person from performing salat, or performing that which is similar to salat, yani the acts of worship that require a state of purification. Yani it is removing, raising up literally, or removing that thing or that condition which prevents a person from making salat, or what is similar to salat. Either from hadath, which is the state of impurity, or khabath, which is the physical impurity. So tahara in the technical sense, it means to remove that state of impurity, which is called hadath, or the actual physical impurity, which is called khabath. To remove these things. At-taharatu fi istilah al-fuqaha'i rafa'u. Yani rafa'u is mudaf and ma is mudaf ilayhi. That's why it doesn't have ten mean. Rafa'u ma yamna'u. Raising up or removing that which prohibits or prevents min as-salat, prevents a person from salat. وَنَحْوِهَا, or prevents a person from that which is similar to the salat, yani acts of worship that require tahara. Min, yani the things that we're talking about here that prevent a person, is either حَدَثٍ أَوْ خَبَثٍ, yani a condition of impurity, yani there's no physical impurity, but a person is in a condition of impurity, which we'll talk about, or the actual physical impurity that is on the person's body or clothing or place of worship. Removing this condition or removing this this physical impurity. What now? Naam. Yeah, i'rab. Naam. At-tahara fi al-istilah al-fuqaha, yani at-tahara is the mubtada and rafu is khabar. Yani ma is mudafun ilayhi. And yani ma yamna'u, that which prohibits, yani is mudari marfu'un ja'a wal majrur min as-salati wa wal 'atf wa nahwiha, yani ma'tuf min hadathin, yani min here, the meaning of min is the things that that prevent a person from salat. From amongst them is hadathin, and from amongst them is khabathin. And it's either a physical state of impurity, a condition or state of impurity, or the actual physical impurity. Okay, hadath and khabath. Okay, these two things, what is al-hadath and what is al-khabath? Al-hadath, mal-hadath, mal-hadathu. What is the hadath? Al-hadathu wasfun, yaqumu bil-badani. Oh, did I? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I did. Before we got to hadath, thank you, ya Ibrahim. وَتَكُونُ يعني this hadath and khabath, yani the things that prohibit a person from worship that requires tahara. وَتَكُونُ حَقِيقِيَةً كَالتَّهَارَةِ بِالْمَاءِ وَحُكْمِيَةً كَالتَّهَارَةِ بِالتُّرَابِ يعني فِي التَّيَمُّنِ. So this yani state of tahara, or this removal of the state of hadath or the physical khabath, it will either be yani tahara haqiqiyya, or the removal yani that puts a person in a state of tahara, yani a purification process that is physical purification, like the purification with water, yani meaning you physically removing dirt or filth or impurities, like with water. Okay, this is yani haqiqiyya, yani it's real physical purification. Or, and also in addition to that, it could be yani hukmiyya. Hukmiyya means that it is purification Yani the ruling of it. It takes the ruling of being purified, even though you don't do any physical purification process. But it has the ruling of removing the state of impurity and placing you in a state of purification, like the removal of the state of impurity that is performed by the tahara bit-turab fi tayammum. Yani if a person performs tayammum, that is dry ablution, by using turab, surface soil or sand or something like this, then there's no physical removal of impurity, right? Not physical impurities, nor the state of impurity is removed haqiqiyatan. You didn't use water to remove the state of impurity. Rather, you just took some sand, pat your hands on the sand or the dirt, the surface soil, and wiped your face and your hands. So, the physical impurity, there's no physical impurity moved, and even the state of impurity, hadath, yani if it is haqiqiyya, tahara, it has to be, you have to use water. But there's no water here. There's just some sand being rubbed on the face and the hands. So here he's saying what? That this removal of the state of impurity or the physical impurity, yani it is either haqiqiyya, like purification with water, or hukmiya, the purification that takes place with dry ablution called tayammum. Yani we use the surface soil to wipe over your face and hands. Yani you tap the earth, yani right? The palm of your hands, surface soil or sand or whatever, one time, and then you wipe your face and you wipe your hands. In some narrations, it mentions tapping the surface soil once to wipe your face and once to wipe your hands, and in some narrations mentioning wiping the hands up to the elbows, but none of those narrations are authentic. What is authentic is one time striking the earth and wiping both the face and hands from that one time. And some of the narrations mentioning blowing the dust, and whatever may remain on your hands when you strike the earth, and then wiping your face and hands. It's authentic to strike the earth one time, to blow the dust from your hands, to wipe your face, and wipe your hands up to the wrists with one striking of the earth. That's what's authentic. It's narrated in numerous hadith in Bukhari and in Muslim.
So, like when you do tayammum once, how many salat can you perform without one tayammum?
This is a big fit question. What is correct is that as long as you don't invalidate it, then you can make as many salat as you like. If you stay up for 3 days, you can pray for 3 days with it. If you didn't fall asleep, you didn't pass wind, you didn't use the bathroom, you're good. And if you didn't do anything that invalidates that state of purification, you can make as many salat as possible. You don't have to do it for every salat. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen discussed this in detail in some of his writings, where he proved that the state of purification is not removed by yani just the passing of one salat to the next. Rather, it's removed by a person doing something that invalidates tahara. Or the time of it expiring, if there's a time set for it. Yani, for example, in wiping over the socks, there's a time set, right? So as long as you didn't do anything that invalidates your tahara, then you can keep praying. But if the time expired, then of course that tahara is no good anymore. If the time expired. Or you can't wipe anymore. But the tahara is still good. I'm sorry. The tahara is still good, but you can't yani make ablution anymore by wiping if its time expired.
Because also that tahara becomes invalid as soon as you find the water.
It doesn't become invalid as soon as you find the water. But if you find water, you have to use it. Okay? Now, the thing is, yani if a person already made yani salat with tayammum, then the salat is valid. But if they want to pray later on, now they have to make wudu with water. Naam. Okay, anyway, here yani these yani details about this, yani we have to spend some time with it. But in any case, let's try to at least get through yani what we covered last week. Ma al hadath. What is the hadath? Yani, so we said that there's a technical definition, and then there's a linguistic definition for tahara, And we said that in the technical definition, it includes the removal of whatever prevents a person from doing an act of worship that requires purification, either yani the impurity that is a state of impurity, which is hadath, or that which is a physical impurity, khabath. So what is al-hadath and what is al-khabath? Al-hadath, al-hadathu wasfun yakumu bil-badani yamna'u al-insana من الصلاة والطواف ونحوهما وهو قسمان وهو قسمان. يعني the hadath is a wasf, يعني a description which exists, or a condition that exists in the body, and that condition prevents the human being from performing salat. And according to the opinion of many scholars, it prevents a person from performing circumambulation of the Kaaba, tawaf. And the minority opinion is that tawaf does not require purification. And Allahu A'lam, that is the correct opinion, that tawaf does not require purification. But in any case, the majority opinion is that tawaf requires purification. That's the majority opinion. So they're going with the majority opinion here. So the hadath is what? Is a description or a condition that exists in the body that prevents the human being from performing salat or tawaf or whatever is similar to them, meaning acts of worship that require a state of purification. And this hadath, this condition that exists in the body that prevents a person from doing certain acts of worship, is of two yani divisions. It is in two divisions. So the first division is hadathun asgharu, the minor condition or state of impurity or uncleanliness. And the second is hadathun akbaru, yani the major condition or state of impurity. So there are two conditions for hadath, yani two divisions of the hadath. And the hadath is a condition, it's not a physical impurity, but it's a condition that exists in the body. The body is described with this condition. For example, if a person urinated and they didn't get any urine on their body, there's no impurity from the urine on their body, but the fact that they urinated placed the body in a condition of impurity. The body is no longer considered to be in a condition of purification. There's no physical impurity, but it is a condition that's caused by urinating, that's caused by defecating, that's caused by certain things. So this is the minor state of impurity. Hadathun asgharu. That's the first division of hadath, the minor state of impurity. وَهُوَ مَا أَوْجَبَ وُضُوءًا. And it is that which necessitates ablution. Yani this state of the body, when the body is in this condition, it requires, necessitates, obligates a person to make ablution before they can pray or do any act of worship that requires a state of purification. So for an example, the thing that puts somebody in this condition is like al-bawl, kal-bawli, wal-gha'iti, wal-nawmi. Yani a person, they became described with this condition of hadath, requiring them to make ablution if they urinated, if they defecated, if they slept. And sleep in and of itself is not a hadath. Sleep in and of itself is not a hadath. But when a person is sleeping, they don't know if their body fell into this condition of hadath. They don't know, did they pass wind or something while they were sleeping. Sleep in and of itself is not a hadath. But it is the situation in which a person could have committed a hadath that caused them to be in this condition that requires ablution. The second division of hadath is the major hadath. وَهُوَ مَا أَوْجَبَ غُسْلًا كَالْجَنَابَةِ. So the second division of hadath is the major state of impurity. And it is that which, it is that state of impurity which necessitates a person performing a ghusl, yani a complete bath, washing of the whole body, such as al-janaba. Al-janaba is the major Impurity, major ritual impurity. Yani that is, for example, yani the condition that a person is in if they had sexual relations with their spouse. If a person had sexual relations with their spouse, then their condition would be yani hadath akbar, because janaba is a major ritual impurity. Naam. Yani the act of sexual intercourse, even if there's no yani emission of semen, ejaculation, the act of sexual intercourse requires the person to make yani, and it puts that person in the state of major impurity that requires a complete ghusl. Naam. Wasfun, yani wasf is a sifa. Yani a wasf is a description. But here it means a condition. Yani it's a condition that the body is described with. It's a condition that the body is described with that requires yani the person to make ablution or to make ghusl, depending on if it is yani major or minor. Hadath, it is a condition that the body is described with, that exists in the body, that prevents the person from performing acts of worship that require ablution. It is of two types, the major and the minor. The minor requires a person to perform ablution, such as from urinating or defecating. The major requires a person to take a ghusl, such as the state of janaba that comes from having sexual relations with one's spouse, or even if a person had emission of semen in their sleep, or yani through any other means, lawful or unlawful. Naam. Pure, yani sleep itself, the fact that a person slept alone is not an invalidator of tahara. But while the person is sleeping, they don't know if they invalidated their state of tahara. They don't know what happened while they were sleeping, right? They don't know. You said that what? You know, when they were on a journey and they slept and then they woke up, but they actually, they made ablution. Yeah, they made ablution. In any case, yani, there's some discussion about this. It's kind of lengthy and detailed, and it's yani, very, very yani, meticulous discussion. This is not the place for it. But I only want to point to this fact, yani, the matter of what? That sleep is the act during which a person may have lost their state of tahara, yani while sleeping. Yani they may have passed wind or something, and they don't know. That's why there's a lot of discussion amongst the scholars if a person is in yani deep sleep or not really in a deep sleep. Yani if a person is not in a deep sleep, they might be aware that they passed wind. They might be conscious of it if they're not in a deep sleep. Maybe, but it's not guaranteed. So in any case, if a person was sleeping, deep sleep or otherwise, they need to go and make wudu. Because otherwise, maybe you imagine, nah, I didn't do anything. But you could be wrong. And then that means you pray and your prayer is invalid. So this is not something to take a chance with. If a person slept, even if it's deep sleep or not, they need to go and make wudu. Yani like a person is sitting in the masjid and they fall asleep and somebody says, you need to go and make wudu. He says, no, I was conscious. He thinks he was conscious. Yani he was kind of conscious. But really he doesn't know. And the proof of it is, sometimes if you don't touch him, if you just say, Abdul Haq, Abdul Haq. Right now he can hear me. But if he was in that state, he didn't hear me. So now I touched him and he said, no, I wasn't sleeping. He thinks he wasn't sleeping because he wasn't in a deep sleep. But he was sleeping. We did it a lot of times. Yeah, so and so, yeah, fulan. And he doesn't answer. But as soon as we touch him, he immediately wakes up and he says, I wasn't sleeping. Every time the person says, he wasn't sleeping. That's what we all do. I'm not saying anybody. We all do that. We don't want to be sleeping. So we say he wasn't sleeping. Go and make wudu. Don't play with it. The person who's not sure, while they're in a conscious state, is not like the person who's not sure because he was sleeping. That's a different kind of check. Huh? meaning that I'm not sure because I don't remember. I'm conscious. I'm fully conscious, but I'm not really sure. Did I do something? But if you're asleep and it's not sure. You don't know. You don't know really. You don't know what's happening while you're sleeping. That's not shek. That's yani jahl. You don't even know. You don't have knowledge. Okay. Now, Muhammad.
For example, if you have a wudu, right?
Let me get my watch out.
You're sitting out on the couch.
Naam. You had wudu and then you went and laid on the couch.
You sit down on the couch and then you feel like, you know, like you're taking a little nap.
Yeah.
On the couch, but you're sitting down.
Sitting.
If you wake up there, you have to take wudu.
Well, there's difference of opinion. That's why I said this is a long discussion. Some scholars said if you were not laying down, that's different than if you were sitting up. Some people said if you were not in a deep sleep, that's different if you're just yani, in a light sleep. All of this is yani, fine points. The bottom line, al-khulasa, if you fell asleep, sitting, lying, standing, half sleep, totally sleep, go and make wudu. That's the bottom line. Because this is worship that you will be sorry for, that you lost because you didn't make wudu. You just didn't make wudu. And wudu is an act of worship. Yani if you did it, it's worship that Allah rewards you for. Not only you save yourself from the possibility that your worship will be invalid, but you also get rewarded for making wudu. Yani from the great rewards of wudu is what? Huh? Yeah. That your sins are removed, every limb that you're washing. You don't need that? Okay, let's make wudu, inshallah.
Last question.
Oh, no.
When I make wudu in the bathroom like this, where everything is clean, can I say bismillah before starting the wudu in the bathroom? Or like, when I say bismillah before entering the bathroom, is that sufficient? And then come out and say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, or can I say it in the bathroom?
Yani, if you're going into the bathroom to make wudu, better to say bismillah before you enter. But if you have no choice in the matter, and you have to say bismillah in the bathroom, you can do it. Yani, out of necessity. Okay, Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, he gave a fatwa concerning this. If somebody remind me, I'll send it to you, so we can read what he said exactly. Yani, in case of necessity, you can say it. But otherwise, yani, it's better not to. And of course, it also depends on the bathroom. Is the bathroom a place where there's a toilet? Is the toilet separate than the other part of the bathroom? Yani, are you in a place that's considered the bathroom, but there are fountains for making wudu, and then there are also stalls for toilets? All of this, yani, requires some discussion. But in any case, better to read this fatwa. Yani, the fatwa is good. Yani, if you read it, I think it will like clarify and remove the problems of difference of opinion concerning this. Okay, because these are deep fiqh issues. Our intention here now is not to discuss the deep fiqh issues, but our intention here is to go on the surface of it and get some benefits from it, yani, so that we can get some benefit from the Arabic at the same time. Okay, so again, yani, we're saying that tahara, if it is mentioned in the absolute sense without any restriction or definition, it has one of two meanings: to remove some physical uncleanliness, or to keep oneself away from physical uncleanliness, or to distance oneself from spiritual uncleanliness, that is sins, shirk, kufr, whatever. And then we said that this is haqiqiyah or hukmiyah. Haqiqiyah means that the person purifies himself using water, and hukmiyah means that the person purifies himself without using water, like in tayammum. Then we said that this purification or the uncleanliness that is removed by the process of purification is yani called hadath, the condition of impurity, or it is called khabath, the physical impurity. As far as the condition of impurity, we said it is divided into two types: hadath asghar, the minor state or condition of impurity, and hadath akbar, the major state or condition of impurity. The minor state of impurity requires ablution, yani from urinating or defecating. The major state of impurity requires a complete washing of the body, a performance of ghusl, such as yani the person who's in a state of janabah. Okay, that is hadath. As far as al-khabath, we said al-khabathu huwa an-najasatu التي تصيب البدن أو الثوب أو الأرض أو غيرها. يعني الخبث is the physical material impurity. هو النجاسة. الخبث It is an najasa. When we say an najasa, yani a physical impurity, that's what we mean by khabath. Khabath means the najasa, the thing that is physically a physical impurity. Yani, like the urine in general, or feces, or something like this. Okay, the physical impurity. And by this, we don't mean, yani, dirt, like somebody fell on the ground and got some dirt on them. We don't mean, that's not what we mean by najasa. We mean the impurity which prevents a person from performing acts of worship that require a state of purification. Okay, so al-khabath huwa al-najasa. If we know what is najasa, that's what we mean by al-khabath. The najasa, the physical impurity, allati tusibu al-badan, yani, which afflicts or falls upon the body, or the garment, or the earth, yani the place where a person is praying, or other than that. Yani, it touches something. It comes in contact with something. And therefore, yani, the person cannot pray in that place, or with those clothing on. For example, unless they remove that physical impurity, the najasa. Yeah, he told the Prophet was performing Salat, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Jibril, the angel Jibril, came to him and told him to remove your shoes. Because there was some, yani, unclean, some impurity on his shoes. So he told him to take them off. The companions, what did they do? They also followed. They took theirs off, even though there was no need. Showing the intensity of the companions in observing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and following him in whatever he did. الخبث هو النجاسة التي تصيب البدن أو الثوب الأرض أو غيرها or other than that. يعني whatever it comes in contact with, يعني it makes that thing become unclean unless it is removed. This is what we wanted to say concerning tahara. يعني the definition of tahara and the hadath and the khabath, يعني and the يعني the physical yani state of purification and the condition of purification and what is required yani for a person to be in that condition of purification, yani either by the minor purification that is ablution, wudu, or the major purification that is al-ghusl, or taking a complete bath, yani with all of the rules and requirements that we know from the sunnah. Okay, we're not talking about here wudu and ghusl, but we may talk about at least wudu later on, inshallah. Okay, the next topic that we are looking at here is Bab Ahkami Al-Miyah. Bab Ahkam Al-Miyahi. Al-Miyahi is the plural of Ma'un, yani water. So the chapter here is what? Chapter Rulings, Legal Rulings Concerning Waters, yani types of water, different types of water. Miyahi, naam. Yani if you look it up under meme, waw, ha. Yani maha, yani the past tense verb, maha, yani under that verb, but it's from what? Meme, waw, ha. Yani you find ma'un under that verb, and the plural of ma, miyah. In any case, the legal rulings, yani chapter concerning rulings of water, different types of water we mean, different types of water. ينقسم الماء إلى عدة أقسام إلى عدة أقسام ولكل منها حكم يخصه ولكل منها حكم يخصه. Okay, so water is divided into a number of divisions. And there are a number of divisions of water. And for each one of them, لِكُلٍ مِنْهَا, each one of the divisions of water is a ruling specific to it. يعني يخصه خصّ يخصه, a specific ruling for that type of water. Okay? So the first type of water, أولاً الماء الطهور. الطهور with فتّة. طهور. الماء الطهور. This is the first type of the أقسام of al-miyah. الماء الطهور. And we'll see later that there's also الماء الطاهر and there's ماء النجس. So we're going to talk about three types of water. الطهور, الطاهر, and النجس. Okay, so the first of them is الماء الطهور. وهو الماء, الماء الباقي على خلقته حقيقية أو حكما. وهو الماء الباقي على خلقته. خلقة, يعني the خلقة means the nature of something. It's still in its natural condition. It hasn't changed in any way. هو الماء الباقي, the water that remains in its natural condition. حقيقية أو حكما. يعني remains in its natural condition. حقيقية أو حكما. What do we mean by حقيقية أو حكما? حقيقية, we mean that in reality it is in its natural condition with no change whatsoever. And حكمًا, we mean it still has the ruling of it being in its natural condition, even though something may have affected it. But whatever affected it doesn't take it away from it still being in its يعني, natural condition. حقيقية means there's no change whatsoever. حكمًا means there's something that may have been mixed with it, but it doesn't take it out of that condition. It still remains in its condition. So it still has the حكم, the ruling of يعني الطهور. فمثال الماء الباقي على خلقته حقيقية. يعني so an example of the water that remains in its natural condition حقيقية, in reality, pure natural condition, is الماء, الماء النازل من السماء. يعني the water that descends from the skies. كالأمطار, like the rains, والثلج, like snow or ice. نعم, حقيقي. I'm sorry, حقيقة, I'm sorry. Thank you. Yeah, Mente. You're the only one awake today. Everybody is sleeping with me today. Jazakallah khair. Subhanallah. Allahu musta'an. هو الماء الباقي. I need a new pair of glasses. هو الماء الباقي على خلقته حقيقة. حقيقة. يعني in reality, it's still, it's remaining in its natural condition in reality, or at least the ruling is still applicable to it. That its ruling is like the water that's in its natural condition, even if something has been mixed to it. And we're saying that the yani that the water that remains in its natural condition, حقيقةً, in reality, the example of that is the water that is descending from the sky. It's in its natural condition. كالأمطار, يعني أمطار is the plural of مطر, means rain, or الثلج. الثلج means snow or ice. يعني the snow in its natural condition, the rain in its natural condition, the ice in its natural condition, this is what we mean by الماء الباقي على خلقته حقيقة. This type of water is called الماء الطهور. Likewise, under the ruling of الماء الطهور is the water that remains in its natural condition, حكمًا. حكمًا, يعني it still has that ruling. مثال الماء الباقي على خلقته حكما الماء المتغير بما يشق. Instead of سوت it should be سون. يعني صاد واو نون. Instead of تاء it should be نون. بما يشق سون الماء عنه كالثحاليب وأوراق الشجر. يعني the water that remains in its natural condition, حكمًا, it still has that ruling, is the water, يعني الماء المتغير, the water that has changed. But it was changed by something, يعني المتغير بما يشق سون الماء عنه. يعني it was changed by that which it is difficult to protect the water from it. It is difficult, يشق سون الماء عنه. It is not سوت, Saut should be Saun with Noon instead of Ta. Should be with Noon instead of Ta. Yani bima yashukku. It is difficult to protect the water from it. Yani it was changed by that which it is difficult to protect the water from it. Like tahalib. Yani tul. Yani tuhlub, it means the water moss. Yani the moss, the growth that grows on water. Yani type of growth that just grows on the water. Water moss. Yani something that just naturally grows on the water. It changed the water, but it didn't take it out of the condition of being tahur. It changed it, but it didn't change it in terms of yani changing its condition. Its condition is still it's in its natural condition. The only change is that there's some moss, some water moss that grew upon the water. Or another example is the awraq of the shajar, meaning the leaves of a tree. And if the leaves of the tree may fall and blow into the water, it's almost impossible to protect the water from this kind of thing. This doesn't take it out of its condition of being tahur. It does not take it out of its condition. Okay, so that thing which it is difficult to protect the water from and really doesn't change the water from its natural state, it doesn't change it. Some leaves falling into the water doesn't change it from its natural state. This, yani, means that it still is water that is tahur, but it is, yani, tahur hukman. Hukman. Yani, tahalib means water moss. Yani, M-O-S-S. Yani, something that grows upon the water naturally. It doesn't really affect the condition of the water. But it does bring some change. There's a change. There's something there, right? But it doesn't affect the condition of the water. Yani, this water is al-baqi, al-ma' al-baqi ala khilqatihi hukman. Yani, its ruling is the same, even though something has mixed with it. What is the hukm of this type of water? These two waters. Wa alaykum salam. Al-ma' al-baqi ala khilqatihi haqiqatan wa hukman. Both of them, their ruling is the same. Annahu tahirun fi nafsihi mutahhirun li ghayrihi. Tahirun fi nafsihi mutahhirun fi li ghayrihi. Yani tahir means that it is pure within itself. Mutahhir is the ism, fa'il. From tahara yutahhiru mutahhir. Yani the thing that purifies other than itself. So here, the hukm of these two waters, which are considered to be tahur, al-ma' al-tahur, is that it is tahir fi nafsihi, mutahir li ghayrihi, means that this water, its ruling is that it is considered to be pure in itself. It's considered to be pure water. It's pure, it's clean. And it is also permissible to use it to purify something else. Yani a water could be pure in itself, but it's not permissible to use it to purify something else. So we're saying it has two conditions here. It is pure within itself, and it's also a purifier for other than itself. This is the ruling of the water that is tahur. The water that is tahur. It is pure in itself, and it's a purifier other than itself. يَسْتَعْمِلُوا فِي الْعِبَادَاتِ كَالْوُضُوءِ وَالْغُسْلِ وَفِي الْعَادَاتِ كَالشُّرْبِ وَالتَّحْيِ الطَّعَامِ. So this water, it can be used in acts of worship, like purification and taking a bath. And it also can be used in your daily, regular, normal things that you do, like used for drinking and used for cooking the food. Tahyi at-ta'am means the cooking of food. Yani, so this doesn't have anything to do with worship, right? Drinking and cooking. It can be used for this. Can be used for drinking, can be used for cooking, and as well it can be used in those acts of worship that are means of purification like wudu and ghusl. That's its hukm. It's tahir fi nafsihi mutahhir li ghayrihi. It can be used in ibadat, it can be used in adat. Concerning this, qala Allah ta'ala, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وأنزلنا من السماء ماء طهورا. سورة الفرقان 25th surah 48th ayat. Allah the Most High says, and we have revealed from the heaven ماء طهورا, water that is pure in and of itself and can be used to purify other than itself. And this shows that what? The rain, the amtar that comes down from the sky is tahur. Allah said it is ma'an tahuran. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما سئل عن البحر, and the Prophet, may the blessings, the salat and salam of Allah be upon him, when he was asked about the water of the sea, he said, هو التهور ماؤه الحل ميتته. يعني that it, the water of the sea, is tahur. يعني it's tahir في نفسه مطهر لغيره. The water of the sea is pure within itself and it can be used for purifying other than itself. يعني in ibadat or in al-adat. And that water of the sea is also halal, يعني that which dies within it. ميتته is also halal. The fish of the sea. Okay, this is the first type of water. It is tahur. Now the second type of water is tahir. Thaniyan al-ma'u at-tahiru. Al-ma'u at-tahiru. Wa huwa al-ma' alladhi khalatahu shay'un tahirun. Mithl as-sabuni wal-labani wal-daqiqi wa ghayriha. Faghayyara min awsafihi kulliha aw ba'dihha. Yani what is the ma' at-tahir? Not tahur, but tahir. It is the ma' which khalatahu shay'un tahir. What do we mean here? Khalatahu shay'un tahir.
Something pure mixed with it.
Something which is pure mixed with it. Like a sabun, soap, or a leban, milk, or a daqiq. What do we mean by daqiq?
Flour.
Aw ghayriha. Yani these things are things that are pure. Tahir. They're not najis. So if something tahir, like soap mixed with the water, or milk, or flour mixed with the water, huh? So it changed it. فَغَيَّرَ مِنْ أَوْصَافِهِ. It changed from some of its characteristics. Its taste, or its smell, or its color has been changed by it. So it changed. فَغَيَّرَ مِنْ أَوْصَافِهِ. Either all of its characteristics have changed, or some of them. What are we talking about, awsaf here? We mean the taste, the color, or the smell. We're talking about the taste, the color, or the smell. All of them have changed, or some of them have changed. This water is what is called al-ma' al-tahir. Something pure mixed with it, and changed some of its characteristics. حُكْمُهُ وَحُكْمُهُ, its ruling is that أَنُّهُ tahur. It is tahur. What does tahur mean? It means that it's tahir fi nafsihi wa mutahir li ghayrihi. This water that has been mixed with soap or leban or daqiq, some of its characteristics have changed, but it is still tahur, like the first water, as long as madama hafidhan li itlaq ism al-ma' alayhi. Yani it remains under the same ruling as the tahur, the first water, if and only if it preserves, يعني حافظا لإطلاق الاسم الماء عليه, as long as the noun or the name water in its absolute sense can still be used for it. يعني if it changed in such a way that we can't call this water anymore, يعني a whole lot of soap got mixed with it, changed its color, its taste, its smell, we don't call this water, we call this suds or something else, right? Yani the absolute word water cannot be applicable to anymore. We're not going to call, yani for example, you're going to call it tea. Yani tea is water, right? But something was mixed with it that changed it in a way that we don't call that water anymore. Now we call it tea. Okay? So the meaning here is whatever mixed with it that was pure didn't prevent us from still calling it water. It didn't become tea, it didn't become coffee, it didn't become juice, it didn't become Kool-Aid, huh? It's still, we're still calling it water, even though something is mixed with it. So the unrestricted use of the word water is still applicable to it. In that case, it still is tahur. يعني طاهر في نفسه المطهر لغيره. However, فإن خرج عن إطلاقه يعني إطلاق اسم الماء عليه بحيث لا يتناوله اسم الماء المطلق كان طاهرا في نفسه غير مطهرا لغيره. So there are two situations here, right? For this type of water which is tahir, it's mixed with something that is pure. So it changed some of its characteristics, its taste or its smell or its color. What is this ruling? If the change in it does not prevent us from using the word water, from still calling it water, then it's like tahur. Tahir fi nafsi, mutahir li ghayrihi. But if those pure things that were mixed with it took it out of this absolute meaning of the word water, يعني خرج عن إطلاقه يعني إطلاق اسم الماء عليه يعني you cannot use the meaning of the word water for it in an unrestricted sense. Now you can say, yeah, it's a kind of water, but we call it tea now. Okay, it changed to something. It's still water, really. It just has some tea in it. But it's really 99% water. But now we're not able to call it water anymore. If that happened, يعني خرج عن إطلاقه يعني إطلاق اسم الماء عليه لا يتناوله اسم الماء المطلق يعني the absolute, unrestricted use of the word ما doesn't include it. This is not included in that use of the word الماء. يعني اسم الماء المطلق means the word الماء, the noun ما, يعني in its absolute sense, does not include that thing anymore. In that case, its ruling is what? طاهرا في نفسه غير مطهرا لغيره. طاهرا لنفسه, it's still pure within itself, but it cannot be used to purify other than itself. Okay, so if the water is mixed with something that is pure, and it actually changes it to the extent that we no longer can just say this is water. And if you gave somebody a glass of tea that had just a little bit of tea in it, and you said, here's some water, and they said, what kind of water is this? It looks like something else. And it's tea. You can't say this is water. Yes, it's water, but now its name, we can't use the word water in the absolute unrestricted sense for that water now, because it has been changed in such a way that it no longer is included in the absolute unrestricted use of the word water. In that case, it still remains pure within itself, but it cannot be used to purify other than itself. So, yani, the second part of this tahir water is different than tahur, and that tahur is pure in itself, can be used to purify other than itself, but tahir, if it has changed such that we can't use the word ma, water, upon it, yani, in the absolute unrestricted sense, here, now, its ruling is different. It's still pure within itself, but it can't be used to purify something else. But it's still pure, though. It's still pure. So it's called al-ma al-tahir, pure water that cannot be used to make ablution, that cannot be used to take a ghusl. Okay, the third type of water, ثالثاً الماء النجس, الماء النجس, وهو الماء الذي خالطته نجاسة فغلبت عليه وغيرت أحد أوصافه الثلاثة يعني اللون والطعم والرائحة. يعني the third type of water is الماء النجس وهو الماء الذي خالطته نجاسة. Some type of physical impurity has been mixed with it. The water which some type of physical impurity, najasa, has been mixed with it. فَغَرَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ Then that impurity overcame it. And it became dominant in that water. فَغَيَّرَتْ أَحَدْ أَوْصَافِهِ الثَّلَاثَةِ And therefore it changed one of its three descriptions. The three descriptions we're talking about, اللون, its color, الطعم, its taste, or a ra'iha, its smell. Yani some type of najasa was mixed with the water, it changed its characteristics, it overcame it, yani it polluted it. It polluted it. This type of water, what is its hukm? Wa hukmuhu annahu la yajuz isti'amaluhu. La fil ibadati wa la fil adati. Wallahu alamu. Yani its ruling, yani al-ma al-najisu, is that it is not permissible to use it. Not in acts of worship, such as ablution or ghusl, nor in, yani, our daily, everyday activities, such as cooking and so on. Washing our clothing and so on. Wallahu alam. Okay, these are the three types of miyah, yani at-tahur, at-tahir, and an-najis. Yani at-tahur is pure within itself and can be used to purify other things. At-tahir, yani, if we can no longer apply the word water to it in its absolute sense, it remains pure. It is still pure, but it cannot be used to purify other things. And an-najis, yani, is that which cannot be used. Yani, it's not pure, and it cannot be used as a purifier, not in acts of worship, nor in our daily activities. Question.
If the najis comes anywhere, it didn't change any of this condition, it's still equal.
And we're talking about water.
Yes.
We're talking about water.
Yes.
We're just talking about water.
Yes.
Okay, so for example, there's a pond, right?
Yes.
And there's, I don't know how many gallons of water in a pond. 100,000 gallons of water, right?
Yes.
So somebody urinated in that pond. It didn't change anything in the pond. And it didn't overcome the water of the pond. It didn't change any of its characteristics. Yani, its smell is still exactly the same. Its color is still exactly the same. Its taste is still exactly the same. So that water, we don't say it's najis. Okay, we don't say it's najis. But of course, there's discussion about what amount of water, yani, is not changed, and whether it's absolute only, yani, that we're going to consider the changing of these qualities, or we're going to consider that it's a small amount of water or a large amount of water. Yani, these are some details that have to be looked at. But in general, these are like general rulings we're saying here. It hasn't changed any of its qualities. It didn't overcome it. Yani, so that is, yani, ma'afu. Yani, it is excused. That najis, yani, it may be in anything. In any kind of water. Yani, if it's in the ocean, in the sea, in a river, in flowing water, there's no problem at all. If it is in stagnant water, now we have to look at the condition of the amount of water. But generally speaking, if it didn't change its characteristics, then it remains, yani, tahir. It remains tahir, but not mutahir. Now. Huh? On the ground is different. We'll talk about this, inshallah. We'll talk about, yani, when some najis gets on your clothing, on your body, on the ground, we're going to talk about that. It's coming, inshallah. But the main thing is that if something najis got on the ground, then you have to remove it. Depending on what kind of najis, how do you remove it? Yani, something that's najis, it may become purified just from the sun, drying it up. Maybe you have to pour water over it to overcome the najis. Maybe you have to remove it, yani bi'aynihi, yani the physical najis has to be removed. Like different ways of removing impurity. Okay, depending on what type of impurity it is, there may be a different way of removing it. Okay, we know that the hadith of the Bedouin came in the masjid, he went into a corner of the masjid, yani he just said, let me get away from the people, I go to the far corner where nobody's at, and he relieved himself. And when the companions, radiallahu anhum, saw him, they were in uproar, right? Ready to, yani, stop him. Because he's, yani, defiling the masjid. But the Prophet told them, leave him. Let him finish. And then after he finished, the Prophet called for a big container of water, told them to pour it over it. So how was it purified? Just by pouring water over it. That's all. And he urinated in the masjid. And he just poured water over it. That's finished. It's clean now. Different type of impurity, different situation, different manner of purification. Right? So we have to look at a little bit of this, and it's coming after this. It's time for the adhan now. Almost 2 minutes. So I don't know if we want to take a look, a preview at the next chapter or the next portion, or just, or just stop here, This is good. If Abdul Haq says it's good, class. Abdul Haq today, he is reminded of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لا يرحم الله من لا يرحم الناس. Allah will not be merciful to those who are not merciful to the people. نعم. طيب خير إن شاء الله. بارك الله فيكم وجزاك الله خير. Please, at the end of this section, I'm trying to see where, on page 13. يعني in next week إن شاء الله we'll start from page 10. النجاسة وأنواعها. يعني the impurities and their types. And from the types is, after defining what is najasa, from the types is غائط الآدمي وبوله. يعني the feces of the human being and his urine, and the urine of the human being. Number two, لعاب الكلب, the saliva of the dog. Number three, دم الحيد, the blood from menses of the woman. لحم الخنزير, the flesh of swine. Number five, بوله وَرَوْثُ مَا لَا يُؤْكَلُ لَحْمُهُ. What does that mean? بَوْلُ وَرَوْثُ مَا لَا يُؤْكَلُ لَحْمُهُ. The urine
and the meat
and the dung droppings. مَا لَا يُؤْكَلُ لَحْمُهُ. Its meat is not permissible to be eaten. Okay, so these are the types of, the five categories of najasa that we're going to talk about. And then after that we're going to talk about tathir ma asabatu and najasatu, the purification process for that which, some type of najasa has fallen upon. So we're going to talk about purification of the body and the clothing, purification of the ground, the earth, purification of one's sandals or footwear, and purification of your utensils. And then that's on page 13. There we're going to stop and we're going to have questions. We have one to eight questions. Start looking at those questions now. Don't wait until we get to the end. Start looking at the questions now as we're covering what those questions are dealing with. Look at the questions now. The questions that cover what we have read already, start answering them. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. So when we get to the end, you won't have to try to remember what we covered 2 weeks ago. Try to start answering the questions for everything that we already covered as we cover it. Okay, so next class, inshallah, we're going to go with page 10 and 11. And then if we have time, we'll do something from what follows on 12 and 13. And then we'll do the questions. Naam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.